Hello and welcome to Think and Grow Thin. I couldn't help myself. I had to steal that title. Think and Grow Thin, 20 simple strategies to effortlessly shrink your plate and your waist. I'm JJ Virgin, and I'm going to be going through these 20 strategies. Now, let's make a deal. You are not going to employ all these 20 strategies right away. In fact, there might be some of these that aren't issues for you. But what I would like you to leave today with are three. Three strategies that as you're listening, you go, ah, I can do that. And once you do, you will start to notice that you start to lose weight without, even though you're now thinking about what you're eating, you'll be losing weight without thinking about it because of some of these changes that you do. And I am known to say calories do count. Where they come from counts more. What we're going to be doing is shifting where those calories come from so that we're putting them into the right places. So let's dive right in since there are 20 of them. And, of course, as I'm looking at these 20s, I just thought of a 21. I guess there could be 50, but let's just keep it to 20 for today, okay? And again, remember, have your pen out. You've got your sheet of paper with your 20 simple strategies. You can circle those three that you're going to get started with when? Now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow never seems to come. All right. And some of these I have grabbed from a book that I just love called Mindless Eating by Brian Wonsink. All right, you thought Virgin was a tough name. And this is a great book, but I've got the cliff notes here for you. And the first one is too much healthy food is unhealthy. Now, there is something called the halo effect. I find this fascinating. And it is when people think something is healthier, they'll tend to be a little freer with it. Sort of the Whole Foods effect or the Trader Joe's effect. You think that when you're walking in there, everything is fair game. And, you know, too much food has to go somewhere, okay? So even if it's chicken, broccoli, and avocado, if you overeat, it's got to go somewhere. Now, hopefully your body wants to burn it off for energy, and the fitter you are, the more likely this is. But when that's full, that's full. When your muscle stores of carbohydrate are full, they're full. And guess where it's going? It's going into your fat. So you want to make sure that you're eating healthy food, but also in the right amounts. Next one is avoid triggers, out of sight or smell, out of mind. And if you look at the grocery stores and you look at Starbucks, they're using this technique really, really well, right? You walk into Starbucks to get your Americano, at least I do, and you start to think, I should have a muffin. I need a cookie, right? Whereas you never were hungry before walking in there. Same with going to the grocery store and now right at the aisle and checkout, they've got all that stuff. I noticed that in the aisle at the checkout at the grocery store, they don't have broccoli, right? They have candy. You start to think, gosh, maybe I need a little dark chocolate. So you can't avoid these things when you're out, but you can become aware of them. You know what they're doing to you, but you certainly can avoid them in your house and your office. There was an interesting study done where they put Hershey Kisses on someone's desk in an open bowl, and then they put them 6 feet away, and then they covered them. And the difference between having them right there where you can see them and then a couple desks away and then covered is the difference between 9 a day, 3 a day, or none a day. So make this easy on yourself. I can't tell you how many offices and houses I go to where there's candy dishes and stuff out. Forget it. And you might say you don't like it, but someone in your family must, or your clients or patients must. So let's get that stuff away. Remember, avoid triggers out of sight or smell, out of mind. Number three, shrink your plate. This is such an easy one. And I was reading an interview with someone who was a housewares expert, and they said that our plates are the serving size platters of yesteryear. So we have massively expanded our plates. I think of some of the restaurants. I just ate at Barney's in New York and had this Palm Beach salad. Highly recommended. Wow. But it came in a trough. You know, I always love it when you get those big salad bowls that really should have served two or three. That's what it came in. And you see that too when you go to Cheesecake Factory. My gosh, you could, the entree serves multiple people. So, which is one of my techniques, by the way, I share. When I go out, we order one entree and split and have both have a salad. But at home, shrink your plate. You know, I use smaller plates. I use appetizer and salad plates rather than the big dinner plates. That's an easy one. That's number three. And number four, you can do the same thing with your glasses. And the reason I say this is when Brian Wansink was doing his research, he found that when people had a bigger plate, they ate more than if they had a smaller plate. And same with glasses. You can have a tumbler that's a bigger, wider glass. You'll tend to drink more out of the tumbler than a small, skinny glass. So you can skinny up your glass. Now, number five, put away seconds before you start eating. If you're serving kind of family style at the table and you've got a bunch of stuff on the table, you will tend to eat more. Even when you're full, just because it's there. So, sure, you can bring more broccoli to the table. You can leave that out. But all the other stuff, before you even sit down and start eating, get that stuff and put it away. Get it gone, okay? I teach people to eat every 4 to 6 hours and to not snack. Don't go too long in between meals. Eat within an hour of waking up. Stop eating 2 to 3 hours before bed. But if you are hungry, the first thing I want you to ask yourself, and this is number six, is it hunger or is it thirst? Great study out of the University of Chicago found that when people drank a glass of water before bed, it shut down 100% of evening hunger pangs. So quite often, it's not hunger at all. It's thirst. So try that first. And if you're one of those people that is hungrier, one thing I love to do is have a glass of water and throw in some fiber. That'll get you to be less hungry because fiber is going to suppress ghrelin, that hormone produced by our hunger, stomach to tell us we're hungry. All right, next one, number seven, is the three-bite rule. If you are just having a craving for something, you just can't get over it. You just want it, okay? And this is where I say, let's say you're having a chocolate chip cookie craving. Don't go get the healthy chocolate chip cookie. Go find the very best, most delicious chocolate chip cookie that you can find and have three polite bites of it. What does that mean? That means you don't bring home a dozen chocolate chip cookies. Don't make this hard on yourself. That's just not nice. That's mean. Get one of the very best one you can have and enjoy it slowly. Focus on it. Three polite bites, not three how much can I shove in my mouth bites, but three polite bites as if you're being taped for a national TV show. That segues perfectly into number eight, which is work with your genetics. And we've been using the Pathway Fit Weight Loss and Wellness Profile because it's got these eating behavior traits in it where it looks at, do you have increased appetite? And this is, we know 40 to 70% of weight is directly impacted by your genetics, and a lot of that is due to eating behavior traits, and that genetically you could have a bigger appetite or decreased satiety or a sweet tooth. You know who you are on that one, right? Remember, taste is really the nutritional gatekeeper, so you might be someone who doesn't like bitter, doesn't like vegetables. There are some vegetables you can like, by the way. Likes more sweet. And then there's a couple other ones. Snacking, there's a snacking gene, people who will want to graze and eat more often. And then there's eating disinhibition and food desire. And these are people who, you know, eating disinhibition, certain situations will kind of set you off, stress, parties. And then food desire is someone who will go out of their way to go get something that they're craving. Now, I've noticed, and this is, again, not with everybody, but going back to the three-bite rule, some people, if they get started with that, they can't stop. So if you're one of those genetics, you know, that once you have a sniff of something, you're in trouble, don't use the three-bite rule. It doesn't work for everybody. It works for most people. But again, one of the things you can do is get yourself tested, do a Pathway Fit Weight Loss and Wellness Profile, and you will be amazed what you find out there. And then you can actually be proactive about these strategies. But if you do sense that any of these things are your issues, I tell people not to fight this. Doesn't mean that you have to succumb. Okay, your genes load the gun, but your environment, lifestyle pull it. it does mean if you're someone with a sweet tooth, right, then build things into your diet that will satisfy it without sabotaging you. Maybe you're going to have some raspberries with sliced almonds on top, sprinkled with a little cinnamon. You could heat up some dark cherries. I love this. And use a little protein powder stirred in. It's like pie filling. You can have 2 ounces of dark chocolate. Okay? There's ways to work with it. And most importantly, number 9, everyone has to do number 9, all right? You have to do this. It's interesting, when we work one-on-one with clients, this is what you must do. And this is not optional. And the reason it's not optional, and again, I'm not doing this just to be a pain. Having done this for now 30 years, gosh, 30 years, that's just mind-blowing. Glad I'm de-aging, huh? When you look at this, the people who write it down, hands down, lose more weight and keep it off. And I will share with you that this is something I use myself, you know. So it's just most people underestimate how much they eat. And this helps you, again, we're looking at becoming mindful. Number 10, up your vegetables and fiber. And I really love to add before I take away. You know, you look at your plate, and you should look down at your plate, and your plate should be 50% or more vegetables, non-starchy vegetables. Big distinction. Okay, that's what it should look like. So obviously, if you're upping your non-starchy vegetables, you are going to crowd out some of the other stuff. And that's what we really look to do. We really want to crowd out some of the other stuff. So that's why we tell people to eat more veggies. Okay. Dine, number 11, dine with slow eaters. This is pretty interesting stuff. Not something you think about, but once you're aware of it, you're like, oh, yeah. You want to make sure that you are not plowing through food. So you want to eat with people who eat slower than you. Pace yourself, because studies show that we pace ourselves to the people who we are eating with. And this is one I have been working on for years. I used to be a very fast eater because I was used to being a trainer. And as a trainer, I had to always eat my food quickly so that I could be done and get back to another client. I was used to eating in the car and eating quickly. So this has been a big one for me. and it's great to pace. And another technique, here's a couple more to help you slow down. Number 12 is last to start and last to finish. This is an easy one. If you want to slow down your eating, don't pick up your fork till everybody else already has. And number 13, put your fork down. Put your fork down. Okay, this is not just like how quickly can I plow through all this stuff, right? Put your fork down in between bites. Now, they say we should be chewing, and that's like 5,000 times with each bite. I've yet to see someone chew like this. But you know you need to be chewing more, so slap your fork down. I mean, sometimes I notice I didn't even chew. And it wasn't my protein shake. So be very aware of that, because if you have any digestive issues, remember, we're chewing to increase the surface area so that the enzymes can hit the food, right? So we want to make this as easy on our body as possible. So you got to chew. All right. Enough said on that. Number 14. This may work for you, eating with chopsticks. I lived in Japan. I can really clean up with chopsticks. So taking a little sip here. So eating with chopsticks is, I can speed eat with chopsticks, but most people can't. So eating with chopsticks becomes a great one to be able to do. Number 15 is making healthy lateral shifts. Now, just like there are two things that I always like to get people started with, which always surprises them because they think when they get started with a nutritionist, they're going to be giving up everything and going into deprivation. Oh, which always works so well, doesn't it? So one of the first things that I do, again, we talked about already, was number 10, add before you take away. We tried to crowd out the bad with some good stuff. And making healthy lateral shifts, which is number 15, is the same type of thing. Let's look at some things that you could do this with. If you're someone that's been eating peanut butter, switch to almond butter. OK, Okay, if you've been eating with those fruit-sweetened yogurts, switch to plain Greek-style yogurt and add some berries. See how easy this is? Okay, if you've been having a latte, a mocha latte, switch to Americano with a little foamed up milk on top, or better yet, switch to a naked Americano. If you've been having soda, switch to sparkling water in emergency. Okay, so that's the plan, is you're taking things that you already know you like and just shifting them a little bit to better options. Again, I really want people to have success right out of the gate so they kind of go, I can do this. Now, here's another one kind of along that same line, number 16, replace bad habits with incompatible ones. And let's say that you come home at night, and let's face it, most people are virtuous throughout the day, and at night all hell breaks loose, right? You know, it's like your downtime, and you're just going to take time to just eat whatever you want. So let's say that that's your bad time. Now, what if you, every night about, you know, 9 o'clock, you had this crazy big snack, like cake. And what if instead of having that cake, you got in the bathtub with a steamy novel, like a Sophia Kinsella novel? I think it's Sophie Kinsella. So what if you did that? You can't eat cake in the bathtub. I mean, I guess you could, but that would be really pushing it, right? So that's what I want you to think of, is replacing some of these bad habits that, and they are habits, they happen all the time, put something else in place that you can't do if you're doing that one. Number 17, hire a coach. Be accountable. I look at this in my own life, and a couple of years ago I hired a coach, and I spent a lot of money hiring this coach, which was great because you know what? You commit with your wallet. And when I hired this coach to work on some business stuff with me, it shifted everything for me, because the minute I committed with my wallet, I put all my energy and focus there. So I will tell you that when I see that people commit and it's a little bit of a reach to do so, they get much better results. And by hiring a coach, it's going to force you. You're going to have support, which is so critical, but also it's going to force you to be accountable to someone. So, by the way, don't hire a pushover coach. You need to hire a tough coach. You need to hire someone who's going to hold you accountable and push you to be better, right? Number 18, weigh and measure to relearn portions. And this is critical because our food industry has totally botched this one. When you're buying something in a package, which hopefully you're not doing too much of, because we're trying to move away from processed foods to whole foods, right? And most whole foods, let's say like apples, don't normally come in packages. So we've gotten very far away from what is a normal serving size, though. If you look at most packages, people assume whatever it came in was the serving size, and quite often it's 2.5 is the serving, you know, it's like 2.5 times. They'll be 2.5 times as much as they should have in a serving in the package, or some silly number like that. But if you go to restaurants, et cetera, the portions are generally double where they should be. So for women, let's look at living by the plate. 4 to 6 ounces for most women, athletic, bigger women, 6 to 8 ounces. Most men, 6 to 8 ounces. Some of the more athletic or bigger men, maybe 8 to 10 ounces. But you see the range. That's your starting point. 1 to 3 servings of healthy fat. And this is all on my plate program. So you'll see this in the Ultimate Meal Assembly Guide. You'll see this in What to Eat. You'll see this in Fast Track. And then 0 to 2 servings of non-starchy vegetable, high-fiber, slow-release carbs. And then loads, 5 to 10 servings of non-starchy vegetables, at least 2 per meal. Once you get that, you need to really focus. And where do you really need to weigh and measure your portions? The only reason I have people weigh and measure non-starchy vegetables is to make sure they get enough. You really need to get clear on your protein, how much you're really eating. You need to get clear on your healthy fats, how much you're really eating. And you really need to be clear on your high fiber, low glycemic, slow, low carbs, because a cup is a lot smaller than you think. Enough said. Now, and by the way, a cup of high fiber starchy carbs is two servings. All right, number 19. Use menu as a guide, ask questions, and don't be afraid to send it back. Although I will tell you, my mother gets horrified eating with me. I mean, just honestly horrified, because I will do this. I go through the menu and I find, especially I'm looking for Brussels sprouts, really, and broccoli. It's like, do they have these? I want these. Sauteed spinach and wild mushrooms. Those are all the vegetables I like. And a lot of times I'll even order those as appetizers. But I'm looking to see what they have on the menu. Oh, artichoke hearts is another one I'm looking for. And then I'm going to usually get a clean, lean piece of protein, wild fish if they have it, or grass-fed beef. If not, it's chicken. And then I add in my vegetables. And if they have a slow, low carb, most restaurants don't seem to, like lentils or quinoa, black beans, I'll add that. If not, I won't. But I'm going to tell them what I want. You know, I want half the amount of the high fiber starchy carbs. I want double the vegetables. And if it comes and it is not done right, and by the way, this is why you always have to ask questions, because so often, like crispy, crunchy, glazed, you know, these all mean not good. NG, they've been fried, they've been sugared up, right? So you have to ask questions on all these descriptions. If it comes wrong, send it back, man. Send it back. Your body doesn't know you got the wrong order. It's going to react to it. You eat the wrong stuff, you're going to get inflamed, right? You'll turn better at storing fat. So it's not worth it. Ignorance is not an excuse here, okay? Send it back. Okay, and number 20, survey the buffet. Survey the buffet before diving in, then stay glued to your seat. I got to tell you, avoid the buffet unless you have to go to the buffet. Buffets are just not good places to be. You want to, when you walk in the door of a buffet, know that they're going to lose money on you. All right? That's number one. But before you buy, take one thing from the buffet. Stay in check with what your goals are. Okay? We talk about taking a picture of the body you want, sticking your head on top, and keeping that with you at all times. So make sure you got that person in your pocket if you need to look at them. But go through and look at the whole buffet. What are you going to choose for protein? Which vegetables are you going to choose? Is there a decent low glycemic, high fiber carb out there? If not, skip it. Load up on the vegetables. Make sure they're not loaded with sauces and junk, though, because that's when vegetables become dessert, right? And pick those things. The only thing you could ever go back for are clean vegetables. And then sit down and stay down. Stay down, right? And take your time with all this stuff. This will help you be the last to start and the last to finish, right? So go slow. And the thing I do like about buffets is that the plates are smaller, so that's good news. Of course, they're trying to get that so that you go back and back and back, but I do like the plates are smaller situation. So you do need to just make sure that, again, if you do go back for seconds, it's on clean vegetables. Don't kid yourself that some vegetable with a gooey sauce is okay, because you could add a couple hundred calories of just nothingness, damaged fats and sugar. I mean, you know the wedge salad's like 1,000 calories, and it's just that when they make the dressing, they pour in a cup of sugar. Nightmare. So always watch what's on these things, because you can really get in trouble there with that. All righty. So those are your 20 simple strategies to effortlessly shrink your plate and your waist. And what I want to make sure and reiterate again is that we've just gone through 20 of them. You've got the handout in front of you. Your commitment is to start with three. Pick three and start working these until they become habits. Once they're habits, you can go to three more. But don't overwhelm yourself, because a confused mind says no and just will kind of go into inactivity. Okay, so start your three, and here's to your success.